Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to Stalking.
Hello, Home. David. There's a big day today for us.
Why is it a big day?
There's a number of big things are happening.
I haven't even said Stalking Down for the Moon Boys.
There are a number of big things happening.
Yeah, what are they?
One.
Yeah.
We have a new producer, Alice.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Alice.
Welcome, Alice.
Welcome to the shed.
Jack has moved on.
Yeah.
Which I don't mean we've fired him or anything like that. Moved on to...
Yeah, I'm not sure Jack's a massive figure for our listeners, I mean.
No, he did win Big Brother. No, he didn't.
He came fifth.
Fifth?
With his twin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's happening.
Yeah.
The second thing is...
Yeah.
You're number one.
Just generally.
Yeah, you're just fab.
In life, I'm just great.
You're number one in the charts.
Yeah, that's it.
We think.
Well, I'm definitely number one in the download, in the iTunes download charts. When I say me, I mean, one of the problems with this podcast, and actually, you know...
There's more than one problem?
God love Jack, and he's a great producer, but... we recorded two parts to our last podcast,
yes.
And I only found out from one of the fans, many fans on Twitter, who happened to complain to me the other day that I had finished part one of that podcast, which went out in April, by saying, anyway, tune in next week or soon or whatever for part two. And we had edited and part two was ready to go, but Jack had forgot to push the actual button that uploads it to the internet, and that bloke had been waiting since April for it.
Do you definitely?
So I mentioned that because who knows when this will go out.
Right.
Which is important because I'm about to say at this very moment, Three Lions is number one in the iTunes download chart. And I speak a couple of days after the game against Croatia that England won. And so as tends to happen when England do well in a major tournament, Three Lions goes number one. And if that could be considered number one, because I don't know if it can anymore, like in the old days, number one was number one. You knew where you were when, you know, Jimmy Savile.
Yes, you definitely knew where you were.
Yeah, said it's number one on Top of the Pops.
Yes.
But now there's a number of different charts.
So two things.
Yeah.
One is, I think the timing will be fine because the way we put these shows out, I suspect this will be...
In a very random way, well, where someone remembers
time,
or not.
This will be perfectly time for the World Cup when it will be number one again.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Secondly, I did read that basically, I'm not sourcing this, I just read it somewhere.
Yeah.
The charts are now basically downloads.
Right.
That's what they are. They're obviously not vinyl.
Are they streams though as well?
Is there a Three Lions vinyl available now? Could I buy the single?
Well, we don't normally plug on this show, right. But yes.
Really? I could go and buy
this? Well, this year is the 25th anniversary. It's worked out quite well. I've just realised something. It's only 25th because of COVID.
Right.
I've only just realised that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's 2021 and the Euro 2020 is happening now and it was in 1996.
Yeah.
Arithmetically, the 25th anniversary is now. And there is a 25th anniversary red vinyl 7-inch
there is.
That you can buy.
So you could actually physically buy it in WH Smith.
But you Woolworths.
Yeah. Or Jim Hills. Jim Hills, the sports shop in Billingshurst.
Yeah, you can definitely buy it there.
That did Kit and Weirdly.
Yeah, HMV, single. All those places. Yeah. You can buy it.
Our price.
Virgin.
Yeah.
Virgin Megastore. Yes, yeah. No, you can buy it online. That's where you can buy it. I've seen pictures of it.
Right.
And it's
Does it have a B-side?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. There is a B-side.
What is the B-side?
Well, no, there was a B-side that we once did.
Right.
Which was when we did the 98 version, which is the only actual version that we've... I think people think that we redo it every year. I mean, every year there's a tournament. But actually, we only properly redid it with different lyrics in 1998.
Right.
Where we did lyrics...
The World Cup.
For that World Cup, which included the lines, Gazza good as before, which was unfortunate because he wasn't picked for that tournament.
Mm.
Gazza not picked for this tournament would have been better. But when we did that, we did that, and then on the B side, because this was still a time when there was a lot of, it was still, CDs anyway, there's something called Tout est possible, which is the only actual other song by Badil Skinner and the Lightning Seeds.
Okay.
I can play a bit of it.
Yeah, I think we should hear that.
Yeah, we should definitely play a bit of it. Yeah.
Is it all in French?
Some of it's in French.
It's a football song?
It's sort of. It's about to go to France. I mean, this is incredibly untopical. Yeah. We're about to go to France, and everything is possible.
Yeah.
And it's kind of more of a sort of mashup. All right, here we go. Someone's actually done a video of it. Sort of not really a song. It's more a sort of melange of 90s sounds with me going, tout est possible. Anyway, that's it.
What I'd say, that's amazing. I've never heard that before.
Not many people have, although someone wrote to me on Twitter quite recently to say that Three Lions was the greatest ever football song, and the second greatest ever football song was Tout est possible.
Wow.
So he was quite positive about my
work. And Frank always writes to you
work.
For
that.
Or,
because, thank you, Ian, for that.
But I think what I notice about that is it's very much of a time and place.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's very 90s.
90s, but sort of, so it's got, it's very Revolver. It's got like...
sort of Black Grape.
Definite Black Grape, but also that guitar is very George Harrison on Revolver. It's I Want to Tell You, I don't know if you know that track.
But no, I don't.
It's a slightly slowed down version of that. But I also think it's a great song.
This song, Tout est possible.
Don't get me wrong. Right, okay. It's definitely a great song.
Don't know if it's a great song.
But, well...
It's quite catchy.
I'm about to caveat it.
Okay.
By saying... that it's a really good effort. But to me,
yeah, that's got a big caveat.
What's amazing about Three Lions is, in a way, that's the song you might have done.
Yes.
And it would be great.
And it would still be being played.
And it would be still being played.
No,
and it would
no
be
question.
A quality. And yeah.
Yeah, that's you're right. I hadn't really thought about that. If we'd released that, it would have been the 1996, 1998, whatever, World Cup song. And
it would have been number one.
It would have passed by. It would have maybe got to number one.
I would have think.
Yeah, it would have passed by and people would remember it or whatever. I'll tell you what, and also it would have meant something which like has happened, which is the football song, the England football song, may not have been killed off because we killed it off.
Yeah, yeah, right, yes.
You know, there never has been any ones. I mean, there have been attempts, but nothing's even dented the public consciousness as a football song since. Whereas if that had been... Our very good effort.
It definitely would have been fine and sort of like, they can put it together. And they've got Ian Brown. That had Ian on as well, right?
It was the music is written by, and it's totally produced, overproduced, I would say, by Ian Brodie.
So
it's also 98 rather than 96. And if you're going to get really musical historian about it, I think you can see that in 96, at the height of Britpop, there's a kind of more confident musicality to Three Lions than to that, which is trying a bit too hard.
Yeah, well, I think it's hardcore. Pulp's hardcore compared to
But it's sort of like
the album with Common People on.
Different class.
Different class. It's the difference between the two albums. Yeah. Yeah, there's a slight introspection.
Slight self-consciousness.
Yeah,
going
on. Yeah, definitely. That's more than anyone's probably ever said about that B-side. So I think
it is. I'm glad we talked about it.
But it's. But I think we're good at breaking news stories, global news stories on this podcast.
We're not good at it. We normally stumble into them in a way that backfires quite
well. I'm about to break one.
Yeah.
Which is what you told me before the podcast. Yeah. Was that you haven't been offered any tickets for any England
games. No tickets for any
England
games. That
is astonishing.
No, none at all. And actually, apparently we weren't offered any tickets.
Do you feel angry about that? I think you should say yes.
I'm not particularly.
Oh, I mean, well, that would be the headline.
Okay. Well, no, because I don't want to seem pathetic.
Right.
And I think if I said I'm furious.
Now
I'm
you tell me.
Now, yeah, I think it's a bit pathetic. And also a tiny part of me quite likes watching the games in the comfort of my own home.
Right.
But having said that, I discovered that in 1996, the FA didn't give us tickets. Sony got us tickets.
Oh, is that right?
Sony, who released Three Lions, they got us tickets.
Why wouldn't they do that?
Why wouldn't Sony do it now?
No, why wouldn't... Well, yes, both.
Well, I think the FA have got a strange relationship to Three Lions.
Right.
It first really became a thing after, and if we did release this very quickly, this would be unbelievably topical, when we played Scotland in 1996.
Right.
Because when we played Scotland in 1996, the first game had happened against Switzerland. It had been 1-1. It had been like quite a dull game. There was a sense in which this is going to be a shit tournament.
Yeah.
Essentially, all the things predicted in the first few lines of Three Lions have come true. England are going to blow it away. They're going to throw it away, blah.
Yeah.
And we thought that too. And then we played Scotland. The sun sort of came out. Gazza scored that incredible goal.
Yeah.
And then, and this is the point I'm trying to make, against the wishes of the FA, he had been told specifically not to play it because it was too partisan against Scotland, especially.
Okay.
The DJ, whose name I don't know, which is terrible, I owe him a great debt, the DJ thought, fuck it, and put it on anyway, and the whole crowd joined
in
immediately.
Yeah.
Right? So that is amazing, but the sort of unsaid part of it is what? The FA said, don't put the song, don't put this song that is like clearly the best England song ever, although maybe they didn't realise it then. And still don't realise it. Or at least, anyway, there's complicated swirlings around Three Lions, which is like Croatia, Modric at the last World Cup saying, oh, we hate footballs coming home by the English, it's arrogant and all that stuff, which it was never meant to be. That wasn't the point of it. So I think UEFA and whatever have got a bit of a sort of old attitude to Three Lions, and the FA don't like all that. So I don't know, but we don't offer us anything.
It's a big news story.
It's a big news story.
This is huge. What you're saying is, it's corrupt is the word you've used.
I didn't use corrupt.
Right.
You've
okay.
made that up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. David Chivers, was he the DJ?
I don't know, he might have been.
No, it sounds like, I was just trying to think,
just
what would
the name
what
of
might
the DJ?
Be, what might the guy be called who does the, what the music?
David Chivers.
Like yeah.
Martin like, Chivers.
Well, not Martin, obviously Martin Chivers. But, but whoever that DJ was has changed your life. Except, the other thing that struck me, we were in the kitchen of...
But they, just to say that, by the way, clearly without any of that, they did put it on against Croatia. Like at the end of the like immediately, that was what struck me. This was a bit odd. It's like, I've got this sort of like notion told to me that the FA aren't good tickets because they're not that keen on Three Lions. And then I was watching the England Croatia game at home with no tickets in my house. And there's lots of footage of like people singing Three Lions because they've put it on at Wembley.
Yes.
And it makes you think, well, what's going on? I'm confused.
Well, the other thing I'm confused about, not confused about, but what struck me before we came in, we were going through Peter Fincham's kitchen.
What?
With his knowledge.
Oh, I see. It sounded like you meant we were going through it in a kind of rifling through it kind of way.
We were on our way.
I found some steak.
We were on our way to the shed.
Yeah.
And there were some young people there.
Yes, there were.
And I said, I bet you've been listening to Three Lions to them because they're in their sort of early 20s. And they said, yes.
Yeah.
And then I said to you, of you, this is the guy behind it. And they couldn't quite believe it.
No, because I look like a tramp.
Partly because you look like a tramp. And, well, why would they? Because they'd probably listen to it on streaming and don't watch the video. So
there's
a moment. Basically, what I'm trying to get to is that you said, it's not that big a thing in my life.
It is a big thing in my life. Three Lions is a big thing in my life. But the resumption of it at this present moment is nice.
I would have thought it'd be all I'd be thinking about.
No, it's not what I'm thinking about. Because
it's number such, one. You've got a number one again.
I know, it was brilliant. Look, I don't want to do it down, but it's such a weird thing having a song which is so tied to sporting achievement,
to
national sporting achievement.
Yeah.
So one of the things about Three Lions is when it went to number one last time during the World Cup, it was number one after the And that was the fourth time it had gone to number one. Right. That was like a world record. That's never happened before. Like the only song that's gone to number one four times is Do They Know It's Christmas? But okay. That's by four right. different sets yes. of artists.
Yeah.
So the only song that's gone to number one...
And not for as good a cause,
yeah.
I would say.
Has gone to number one with the same people just aging
yes.
as it goes to number
yeah, yeah.
one
right, right.
Is Three Lions. So that was a record. But then it set another record, which is the day after England went out of... the World Cup, it had the largest fall ever in the charts. It went to number 96, okay. Rather brilliantly, number 96, appropriately.
Amazing.
So I completely love Three Lions, and I'm very proud of it, and I love seeing people sing it, and I love the fact that it is, someone said yesterday on Twitter, said it's kind of untouchable. Like people occasionally yeah. criticise it, and I don't know if he was comparing it to this song, but he said criticisms of Three Lions are like dust in the wind. May right. have been a deliberate reference to the Scorpions
right.
song.
Right.
I don't know, because it just carries on, you know.
Yes.
Because when it first came out, there were a lot of criticisms of it. Like the music press hated it. And it's right. often been the thing that sort of people who feel they're in the know musically will say World Emotion's a much better song. And World Emotion is a good song. But it's not a much better song, not least because it's not really a football song. Like without the John Barnes rap, you'd hardly know it was about football.
But I think I can see, if you're a muso, you might say that the New Order was a bit sort of, they were a cool band.
Yes, yes, there's all that.
And had a bit of a groove, but it's precisely why it hasn't caught on.
Well, it hasn't not caught on. People like World Emotion, but it's not going to be sung on the terraces.
No, it's not an anthem.
And it's not really about football, you know.
What I hear is people say exactly what you say, which is the Three Lions untouchable when you consider the B-side.
Yeah, particularly. Yeah, everything is possible. That's what they say. So anyway, so obviously it's very exciting. But
yeah.
just to go back to that experience that you put me through in the kitchen, it made me feel a little self-conscious.
Yeah.
Is there were two people, how old were they?
I think like 24.
Oh, really? I thought they were younger.
No.
Anyway, they're young people.
Yeah, they're definitely young.
Yeah. One of them was Peter Finchem's son, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he said he did know that I'd done it, although he may just have been being polite.
I think he probably... I would be surprised if he did.
And he had a young woman with him who simply had no idea.
Yeah.
Even though, obviously, she was aware of the song.
Yeah.
So what I think is a little bit odd about that is, if a song is popular, you would expect people to have some notion of who had done it.
Well, ironically,
yeah.
this could be where the Hoover hoovers up his own plug and disappears.
Is that ironic? Or just no, a strange thing to say?
No, as in the snake eating its
right.
bum.
Yeah. I'm still waiting to know what you mean.
Well.
I said yeah, but I don't know what you mean.
This podcast is about to eat itself. Because
right.
I wonder if what we're describing is one of our, I don't know about favourite topics, but one we like, which is bands which are really famous, but you don't know who anyone is.
Right.
I wonder whether...
Right. No, please don't talk about Texas. Please. I'm begging you.
Well,
no,
I won't
talk
about Texas.
Texas.
Right. I'll talk about something different that happened okay. to my son just very briefly
okay.
at the weekend.
Yeah.
Which is, he went to a party,
yeah,
not at the county jail, which
yeah.
felt like what I was about to tell you, but in Holland Park,
right?
Not so Elvis.
Yeah.
And he said...
Went to a party in Holland Park. Yeah, it doesn't work.
No, but with a different tune like that, it sort of helped.
Yeah.
And he said, one of the boys there, his dad said hello to me. He knew I was a drummer. He's the drummer from Coldplay.
Right.
And my son was excited by this, of course. But... I said to him, how do you know it was the drummer from Coldplay? He said, well, because my friend Milo told me.
Hmm.
I didn't recognise him or anything. And I thought, I can't bring him to mind.
No, I can vaguely. He's sort of balding and got a beard. Or is that,
I wondered if I was right. Because
that might be the guitarist.
I eventually settled upon that, but that might be the guitarist. Or
yeah.
are they all of it?
I've told you this story, haven't I, that I'm about to tell. I must have told this.
I don't know, yeah.
So one day...
Is it about Three Lions? Because you literally have just told me that.
Yeah, that would be
bad.
It's
not that bad.
No, once I was in Nottingham and I'd done a... event, can't remember, a literary event, I think.
Right.
And I was with the PR at that event, having dinner at a hotel, and a man came and sat down next to us and said, I'm Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead.
Okay,
I have
right.
told you this story, have I?
I can't, I mean...
I don't know if I've told it on this, and I should have told it on this. He said, I'm Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead. And I said, oh, I'm pretty sure I have, actually, but anyway. Great, lovely to meet you. And he said, can I join you? And I said, yeah. About half an hour later, I thought, it's not Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead. He's a weirdo. And very little about him is suggesting Johnny Greenwoodness.
Right.
And I had
impossible.
To go... Yeah, actually, even if I've told it, there is an extra
right.
bit that
right.
I definitely didn't say last time. I had to go and get the maitre d' at the hotel dining room and say...
Right.
Basically, can you ask this bloke to leave our table? I mean, I guess I could have done that, but I didn't feel quite...
It's a bit, yeah, it's quite confrontational, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite confrontational to get the maitre d' to do it, actually. Now I think about it, like, is that actually more embarrassing to, like...
Yeah.
like bring it.
It's a bit passive aggressive. Did you, when the maitre d' started doing it, did you look surprised so that you could say, yeah.
They're like, "What's this happening?"
You, the awful thing was, you could sort of say, "I've got to play the part," but it said, "Please don't touch me." I said, "Okay," and then he left him there.
So, now I think about it, I don't know what I was thinking of getting him to do it.
What were, I would love to see a discreetly shot video of just your face when it's happening to play it back to think how you. Well, did you go to the loo?
I think I went to the loo.
Yeah, let it happen.
No, I can't remember. Anyway, yes, maybe I went to the loo. But either way, he went away. Anyway, the extra bit of the story, if I have told that, Stalking Time listeners, I'm sorry. But there is a new bit, which is my new book. I'll plug it, Jews Don't Count.
Yeah, well, we've got your record, vinyl record being plugged.
Yeah,
got,
my best-selling book, normally Jews Don't Count, has been read by Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead.
Or has it?
And almost definitely I'm talking about the real Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead now and not the bloke who came up to me and not right. him. That would be amazing if it was him. But no, the reason I think it is Johnny Greenwood is that the Blue Tick verified account on Twitter got in touch with me, sent me a direct message, said, I really like your book. And I said, thank you very much. And then I was unable not to say, just to confirm something, were you the bloke? Because I never had it absolutely confirmed, because it could have been the case that I just got it wrong.
Right, okay.
And that fucking Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead was taken away by the maitre d' and has ever since thought, what a wanker David Benioff hold that maitre d' if I managed to look innocent.
Yeah.
You know, why on earth was I removed? Anyway, I was right. Johnny Greenwood, I said, did you come up to me having dinner in Nottingham once in a hotel and, you know, say I'm Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead, and then, you know, was that you? And he said, no, we've never met. And let me see what Johnny Greenwood said. Have I ever told you that I had dinner with someone in Nottingham once who told me he was you? And Johnny Greenwood says, what a distressingly low bar for an identity theft. That's very good. Then I said, I'm assuming it wasn't you. He came and sat down in the hotel, blah, blah, blah. I said, explain thing. I explained the whole thing. And then he says, I hope we do meet one day and let me know if you ever need some miserable string music writing.
He said that.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
No, he's really funny. Yeah. So I was very impressed with him being funny. Yeah. But yeah, so why have I brought that up?
Because
you were talking about
people in famous bands people who don't recognize. Band.
So unfortunately, this story does carry something else with it,
right.
Which is, I don't quite know what he looks like. I do now, but I didn't at the time.
Yeah.
And so it's quite a clever thing to do. I mean, in terms of what happened to your son, is if you're going to like want to muscle in or impress someone or whatever, to say, you know, I'm the bass player from Texas.
Yeah, that's right.
You'd never know.
You would never know.
Unless, of course, you wanted to check by phone. That would be the thing to do.
But I think the thing, it's a bit like years ago, I was at a dinner party and basically was sitting next to the guy that runs a brewery.
I feel you told me this, but carry on.
Well, there's not much to it other than to think, well, that's interesting because I don't like beer that much, but I like one of their beers. And I thought, oh, so I immediately thought about the pleasure I get from drinking the beer and the fact that the guy who's ultimately behind it all is sitting next to me. And I ran out of conversation after about 30 seconds.
Right.
Because ultimately what he's got, like drinking the beer is good. Talking about it and the market for new lagers and is not so interesting, right?
Yeah.
And I think Johnny Greenwood, that you know, the thing is, you're not going to ask him a lot, are you? So it's quite a useful person to impersonate. Because you're not, what are you going to say to them?
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
What would you end up to? You'd talk about anything but Radiohead, wouldn't you? Just say, question, are you on tour?
The question then is, how did I twit that it's not him? And I can't remember because it was a long time ago.
Okay, if I say I'm Johnny Greenwood.
Yeah, okay.
And I mean, I know you know I'm not.
Yeah. Have we done this whole bit before?
I don't think so.
It's very familiar.
How are you going to trip me up?
Let's start. You come over for dinner.
David, hi.
Hi. Yeah, hi. Do I know you?
It's Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead.
Okay. And wow. The guitarist.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I've always been a fan of what you're
not
doing.
Not Tom York, right, but Johnny Greenwood, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's...
different person.
Yeah, I'm a different person.
I sort of know what Tom York looks like.
Tom was actually going to come tonight.
Oh, okay.
He's,
where is he?
He's in Nottingham.
No, we're in Nottingham.
What?
We're in Nottingham, so you fucked up already.
He's not... Okay,
he's not in Nottingham. Yeah.
He's in Oxford.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. That's where they live.
Yeah.
Okay, so hi. Well, do join us for dinner.
Yeah, I don't mind you've said hi in the middle of the conversation.
Thanks. So what are you up to at the moment?
We have just finished a new album.
What's it called?
Why would, oh God, it's a nightmare. It's like...
It's a nightmare. It's a weird name for...
Not for a Radiohead album.
Well, it's a nightmare. You know, perhaps
it
not.
Sounds about right. It's like naming a baby. It's just like we're all arguing about what it should be.
Okay.
And so, I don't know, but we're really pleased.
And you're working on any movies because you do soundtracks?
Yeah, I'm working on a couple of movies. Right. Can't say quite hush hush.
Okay. What about the ones that you've already done? I'd like to talk to you about them.
Okay, yeah.
Like, for example... Come on, what are the ones you've already done?
You're teasing me. You know
no, I just can't remember. Can't remember,
the
Johnny.
Movie, well, I always get confused because some have been out and some haven't. So
no, all your movies have been out.
Well, no, I'm working on a couple that haven't been out yet.
Okay, right.
So I'm working
on... So what about like... I just can't remember the one. The one you did... Glass Palace?
Yeah. Oh, that hasn't come out.
Glass Palace.
I'm working on that. That's a David Fincher.
Right. Okay.
I'm cool. Right. It's like the part. I'm sure, like you just can't remember. You know, like what you've done in the past.
Should I help you a bit with that?
No, I don't. I don't.
Some of the Oscar-winning films that you've done.
Yeah, Bluegrass.
Bluegrass.
Yeah. Oh, that's another one in the works.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't want to talk about There Will Be Blood, your music.
What are you going to eat? Do you want anything? Are you eating? Do you want a drink? Should I get you a drink?
Yeah. What's this bit now?
I'm trying to avoid the subject.
Oh, I see. You're trying to avoid the subject. I helped you out in the end. I just told you it was There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be
Johnny
Blood.
Johnny Greenwood
wrote
the music for There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Did you just think I was saying There Will Be Blood?
Yeah,
I was being threatening.
To be honest, I wasn't.
So if you carry on talking about this, There Will Be Blood.
I was trying to think of my exit strategy for getting you off. So There Will Be Blood. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed that. Strings is what I used on that mostly.
A bit.
And.
So, yes, I don't know from either the recreation or my memory
how you do it,
what it was that made me tweak. He was just an odd bloke.
Yeah.
It's such a strange thing.
A super fan, I guess.
Or just a weirdo. Anyway, so that comes back to what we were talking about, which is that what I want to know is, who does that woman, the 24-year-old, in the kitchen, does she, I mean, maybe she just doesn't think about it, but if I said to her, pretend the last 20 seconds hasn't happened, and someone says to you, that song, Three Lines, oh yeah, I love that. I'm really playing it a lot at the moment. Who did that? What would she say?
Yes, that's a really interesting question. I suppose...
Because it's quite a reasonable question. It's like the next thing you might say if you were talking about most
songs. So don't you think you might think it's a football thing that somehow comes out of the whole England experience and like is really old and is just around? Like,
what, the I wonder if she thinks... It's a crowd song that someone's done a sort of single on.
No,
at some
I think
point.
It's different. Okay, I'm gonna
like Vindaloo. It's Vindaloo is that. Vindaloo was a chant,
right?
And they just kind of weaponized, as it were, the chant into a single. So maybe she thinks it's like that.
But if you're 24, you have heard for several Christmases in a row, Slade, doing
I think she would know.
Do you think? Because I think you wouldn't go that Slade, or even know it's Slade. I just think you'd think it's a Christmas song.
Okay, I'm going to ask Alice. How old are you, Alice?
I'm 23.
Okay. I mean, he's told you, but do you know who did Merry Christmas, Everybody?
Do you know that song?
I know the song, but I don't know the artist.
You don't know the artist?
No.
Oh, that's really interesting.
No, I think that's... Why would you?
That's so interesting.
Because I think some of these things become like heritage things. They become national. They become like Wimbledon or something. You know, they just happen. And that's... I don't mean just necessarily because of sport. But Christmas comes around, that song comes out. And I think you just don't...
Yeah. Have you ever been curious, though?
I just sing it.
Yeah.
You just sing it?
Yes.
So if someone said to you, like, do you know any Christmas songs? Do you know the artists of any Christmas songs? Maybe later ones. Last Christmas, who did that?
I think about Michael Bublé.
Right, but Last Christmas, do you know who did Last Christmas? No. I Gave You My Heart. You don't know?
No, but I know the song.
Yeah, no. I'm not criticising. I'm just it's interesting.
Yeah, I think that's how...
Because do we just know because we were alive when they came out?
I think so, yeah.
But I know who did Jailhouse Rock, and I wasn't alive when that came out.
Who did it?
Elvis Presley.
I
was thinking about going for someone else, but I didn't.
Johnny Greenwood. Okay, I think there's a couple of things. I think partly you can date, because we were all there, you were there when Three Lines was done, right?
I was there when that was done.
That's around your period, isn't
it?
So that was happening, and so we know it. But also I think we're quite interested in music, so I'm always quite interested. So, for example, on Radio 1, this is a bit of an old person's quote, but Radio 1 this morning, they picked up on the fact that the Scotland fans, do you know what they sing?
Flower of Scotland.
Okay, apart from that, they sing a pop song.
Do they? No, I don't
really
know
anyway, it's I Can, Yes Sir, I Can Boogie.
Oh, right. Yes, I can relate this to David Bowie. That's so exciting.
Wow.
Because I was thinking
Because it begins with a B?
No, there's a relevance to that.
Okay. they sing Baccarat. And thingy, Greg James this morning on Radio 1, Breakfast.
Yeah. Said, do you listen to that?
Yeah, because I take my kids in the car
okay.
to school. Said, oh, basically, I'll tell you what that song is. It's an old Spanish disco song.
Spanish?
Well, I think they were. So, by, honestly, he said Baccarat. So maybe that is what he said, but I think it's Baccarat. And then he played a bit and said, oh, that's quite good. We should maybe play that. And I think, I know that song was that came out at a perfect, you know, I was 10 when that came out or whatever. So it's a huge thing. I know, I can picture it. I saw it on top of it. But now that's a slightly different, you know, but they don't know who it's by, you know, and now he's found out. I'll tell you who it was actually by. And I think that's how they work.
That's sort of it weird.
It becomes
though.
Part of the function. And also, I think.
But isn't it incumbent on DJs to know that?
I think we come from a period of time where we sort of looked at those, I don't know, where we sort of looked at the records.
Like knowing about them.
Read it.
Yeah.
Read who it was. And now it's just in the ether, isn't it? It's streamed. I don't know. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, maybe you're right. The relationship is, so I part of the process of this podcast, less and less.
This is interesting. So so I understand, a relation to Baccarat?
No.
Or, no.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've said this before, is like we've run out of things that are in our treasure trove of things that we've got to get off our chest about David Bowie quite a long time ago. Mm. And so the way I deal with it now.
Episode 3, do you think?
Yeah. The way I deal with it now is to just Google Bowie news. And there's quite a lot of dull Bowie news about some painting that had been found. And
that is
then
good at
Gary
all.
Oldman talking about how he'd written him a letter as he was dying, which I also thought that's not much comedy there. Nice. But then there was a thing here, which is Euro 2020, George Bowie releases Yes Sir, I Could Boogie fan anthem.
Wow.
And it turns out that there's a DJ in Scotland called George Bowie.
Okay.
And him with his wife, who is also called Bowie, have released Yes Sir, I Can Boogie. Although it says in here, George Bowie and Baccarat release Yes Sir, I Can Boogie remix. So I was going to bring that up
right.
as a just general topical thing, but more importantly, to talk about the weirdness of anyone being called Bowie who isn't Bowie. That was going to be my way into that, is topically to say there's a Scottish DJ who's released a version of this song, but he's called Bowie, George Bowie.
Yes.
Like, if I was at all like in a music job, a famous music job, I would not be called Bowie. I would change my name.
I think it's why the Celtic player was Aaron Lennon immediately. As soon as I see him, don't think anything about him. Just think you've got the same name as John Lennon.
Yeah, I don't think that about Aaron Lennon.
But hardly anyone has that name.
It's totally fine. There's another one. It's Neil Lennon as well.
Okay. Hardly anyone has the Lennon name. It's not that common. Do you know anyone in your life called Lennon?
Neil Lennon as well as
Aaron Lennon. No, but like a friend or someone you've worked with. No, it's rare.
Isn't one of Liam Gallagher's children called Lennon?
Yes, but that's the point. Named after John Lennon.
Yeah, I know.
And I think Bowie is even rarer, you know, I mean, even rarer. There's not been anyone.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else called Bowie apart from George Bowie?
Well, yeah, his wife.
So maybe they've adopted it, do you think?
They've adopted the
Bowie. I mean, is it
I'm trying to work
name?
That out. Okay, here he is on Twitter. Queuing for a COVID jag at the Hydro. It's like queuing for a ride at Disney, he says.
Wow, that's, it really is.
Yeah, George Bowie takes on wife Ellen Bowie. Oh yeah, it's kind of a battle for the airwaves. His wife is called Ellen Bowie.
Right, but that's presumably from him.
Yeah. Yeah, so he actually did a collaboration with Baccarat, who re-recorded Yes Sir, I Can Boogie for George's Anthem. Should we listen to it?
Yeah.
George's
But that will be the Scottish fan thing. That's what's good. So that's what that's about, right?
Right, okay. But I'm very pleased that has tied in.
Yeah. That's
on.
An amazing tie-in.
Here we go. This is hopefully it. Yeah, GBX featuring... GBX is him. George Bowie X.
Okay. Well, that's the actual song, obviously. Oh, I see they're doing a bit of a...
No, I can hear the house for the backing.
Okay.
I think it's just this.
It's a bit Jive Bunny, isn't it? It's not...
I mean, I'll be honest with you.
It's a great track.
And I may be wrong about this,
yeah.
Scottish listeners, but presently, the day after they lost to Slovakia.
Yes. Czech Republic.
Czech Republic. No, was it Czech Republic? Yes, Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Amazing goal by Stitch.
Yes, incredible. 49 yards, apparently.
Incredible. Well, I saw a few people say it was a fluke, but it wasn't. I think it's unlikely that will be carried to the top of the charts by Scottish success in the tournament. I could be wrong.
I see what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, again, we don't know
it
when this
look
is going out.
When this goes out,
this might go out
2028, and
it might go out on the day after Scotland have won Euro 2020.
Yeah,
won. Or
in which case, you're happy for them, and
I'm very happy
to have
Scotland
made that mistake.
And you know, who I'm happy for GBX featuring Baccarat.
Yeah, I do wonder.
Would definitely
be
number one if Scotland have won.
But
Euro 2020.
I mean, Bowie invented the name Bowie,
right?
as in it wasn't his family name. And obviously there's the Bowie knife. I've never really thought about whether there are any... Are there any Bowies in the country?
George Bowie, I'm sorry to say this, does not have a Wikipedia entry.
But is there anyone called Bowie that isn't David Bowie?
Although vile sectarian slurs have been tweeted at George Bowie's Twitter account.
Right. We do not condone that.
Yeah, we do not condone that. It was hacked. Exactly, it sent out some offensive messages, apparently. I probably shouldn't read them out.
No.
Oh, yeah. One of them says, fuck the Pope. That's right. Awful.
He's got a vow of celibacy.
Yeah.
For a start.
Yeah, well, and George Bowie? No, he probably hasn't.
Well, that's who I was talking about. Oh, right. Pope too? Right. Yeah. No, that's bad. Well, the I mean, by the way, there's only vile sectarianism, isn't there? That's what we say as a podcast.
Yeah,
it seems an unnecessary adjective.
Yeah. But meanwhile, I can't find out whether George Bowie was christened Bowie.
Yeah, I suspect he wasn't. And I wonder if Bowie is just a sort of made up
maybe
name.
Yeah, maybe.
But
one other thing that's happened, which I must bring up.
Yeah.
And this is really extraordinary. For me, this is a much bigger news
than
Three Lions Came to
Mind. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Is my management company, Avalon, contacted me the other day. So they had to talk about stalking time for the Rude Boys. They never do that.
Yeah.
It's the last thing they ever talk about. I thought, what on earth can that be? They could be telling me to stop doing it. It's a waste of my time. That's entirely possible. But it wasn't that. They were calling me to say that I was about to be paid some money for doing this. And I'll be honest with you, it's not a big figure.
Right. Are you able to say what it is? Or not?
They didn't seem that sure. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were overstating it because they like to be positive about the amount of money I'm earning because they're my agent.
Yes.
But so I said to Jules, who was calling me, how much is it? And he said, I think it might be about 750 quid.
Well, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. I mean, it's not quite so much money if you break it down per episode. How many episodes have we done?
I feel like...
What do you want to say?
I want to say, right, in the American way that they say that.
Yeah.
They say, I want to say, and you think, well, just say it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I want to say 60.
Oh, more than that.
Is it?
I think it's more like 100.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's about 100.
£7 an episode. Yeah. Sorry.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's £7.50 an episode, isn't it?
Yeah, which I'd be happy with. That. I mean, it's all done, so you weren't expecting them. But by the way, that means I must get the money.
You must be getting it.
Well, that'll go into the expectation fighting fund
right.
to keep the company afloat. But
I don't think it should. I think me and you should spend it on a slap-up meal.
Presumably that means there's some advertising.
I mean, there are people who listen to this podcast who think it's really good. Not very many, but there are. And they may feel that's terrible. Like,
well,
you should be getting much more money. This is my favourite podcast.
I'm about to change it because I'm a master of PR.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say to you, which charity are you giving that 700 to?
The Expectation Fighting Fund. That's definitely what I'm giving it to.
But it's an exciting moment for us.
It is exciting. I don't know why you haven't been told by your accountant that it's all going to be okay.
I'm going to find... I'll do some digging.
Yeah.
Now... We're an anti-drugs podcast, right? We take a pretty firm line on drugs are bad.
Okay.
And I've been reading a book about the Beatles and drugs.
Yes, you told me that when you came around for dinner.
Yeah, I've just finished it.
Which is also an amazing moment. That's never happened. We have had dinner and lunch together in other places.
We've never had breakfast, have we?
No,
we might have had breakfast. New Year.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So I think we've had all the meal occasions.
Yes, we've had many meals together, but we've never had dinner in one of our houses. But we finally got over that, and it was very successful.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
What I'm here to tell you, I can talk you through the menu, listeners, because I think they'll be interested.
My menu?
Well, I can talk the listeners through the menu.
You could do.
Because it's the sort of detail you get in the little sidebar on the front page. It's like, this is what they ate.
Yeah.
And
we've forgotten.
No, not at all. We had a lovely... I've forgotten a beer. We had a lovely lamb, which was sort of what, griddled? How did you do
griddled.
That? Griddled. Well, like it was sort of...
Cooked in the oven.
Yeah.
Roast lamb.
Yeah, but it was roast. Yeah, exactly. It was roast.
I marinated it a bit, I think.
Yeah, it was nice. With a lovely couscous salad and Dolly put some salads together, which were amazing, possibly including the couscous.
And what was the key element? I made my own pudding. What was that?
Well, I was going to say, the bit that I will never forget.
Yeah.
And neither will Pippa, my wife, is the chocolate mousse that you made.
Yeah.
Partly because you quite quickly basically wanted to tell us how you made it.
Yeah. I think I left something out of my telling, by the way.
Well, the thing that it was a really lovely chocolate mousse with a little raspberry on top.
Yeah.
And you, the thing I remember is you were worried that you hadn't beaten the eggs
yes,
fully and it left a bit of egg juice.
Yeah, that's true. It's what actually happened is that I was beating the eggs and the egg whites, and it created quite a big peak of sort of mountainous meringue foam.
Yeah.
But then, if anyone can answer this, I would like to know.
Yeah.
Which is that I noticed, I've never done that before. Underneath the foam, it was kind of still a bit watery.
Mm.
So I thought, well, okay, I'll just sort of like mix that up a bit and beat it again. But once I'd done that, it was just watery.
Yeah.
And then it would continue to be watery.
But it didn't seem
at the end, I did just put the watery juice in the mousse.
It didn't.
But you know what else I did?
Oh, which God. I didn't. Did you piss in it?
No, it's not a bad thing. Well, it is a bad thing, but not a thing that will make you go, is. Having done that, right, I think there just wasn't enough mousse because it suddenly lacked. Oh. It lacked quite a lot of mousse because when it was peaks, it was a lot of egg white, and suddenly it was like only like half a cup of egg white that I put in. So do you know what I did?
Oh God!
It's not that
Nescafe.
Bad.
Nescafe.
It's not that bad.
Yeah,
I unwrapped two Sainsbury's mousses. Right. Which are like little cups.
Wow.
And Sainsbury's mousses, you could get six of them for a quid.
There was a moose in the mousse.
Yeah. Yes. That's like that Scottish song.
Exactly.
There's a moose loose in this mousse.
There's a moose loose in my mousse.
Yeah. I opened two of those and I just mixed them with my own mousse just to bulk it up a bit.
That again is a Hoover hoovering its own plug.
Yeah.
So that's like, that's amazing.
Yeah. I thought that worked quite well. So years ago, an embarrassing thing happened at dinner, which is more Edna's fault, which was, well, when I was convinced, when we used to have a few more dinner parties, that I always fuck up the cooking,
right.
Which I don't. I'm not a bad cook. But she always, like, Maureen's got incredible sort of anxieties about stuff. And she thought I was going to fuck it up. And so she said, just go and get, like, they do these really nice lasagnas in the Italian deli around the corner. Go and get one of them. And I said, what, pretend that I made it? She said, well, you'll be putting it in the oven.
Mm.
You'll be cooking it or whatever. And that's very not me, as you know.
Right, right.
I'm really bad at lying.
Lots of people do that. You know, there's nothing.
But I'm really bad at lying or whatever. But I did it, right? I served it. Went all right. But then John Morton, who was there, and there was quite a few people there, the writer of W1A.
Yes, who I watched the England match with.
Yeah, lovely bloke.
You said, as if you knew that.
I didn't know that.
I watched the England match just.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it? Yeah, that's like Bowie and George Bowie.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. You were in Warberswick.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, he started saying, you know what? This is amazing. You made this. I said, yeah. It just really tastes like the lasagna you can get at Jacobacci's, the deli around the corner from there.
Wow, he could geolocate
from the taste. Yeah,
that's amazing.
And you know what? I'm really bad at lying, but I thought, fuck it, I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna have to pretend that.
Oh my god!
Because Morwenna really wanted to, pretend whatever. So I said, oh, interesting. Well, I'm taking that as a compliment that you think it's as nice as that. And he kept on saying it. He kept on saying, God, it's amazing. And eventually, Morwenna cracked. And just said, oh, God, we bought it from there. We bought it from there. And I couldn't believe it. I was
Proper 70s sitcom moment.
A proper 70s sitcom moment.
That's brilliant.
So an element of that, to me saying, at least 20% of your chocolate mousse was chocolate mousse
from Sainsbury's. That is absolutely amazing. But that's kind of, there's something quite
revelatory. Basics chocolate mousse.
That is like you doing a magic trick. And I'm like, wow, I'm completely, or like, if someone said, how was your curry?
Yeah.
I said, oh, it's so nice. How did you do it? Well, I put a really good curry inside it. It's like, oh, right, that makes sense.
I bought a curry from my local
put it inside your curry.
Inside the curry homemade. Yeah, it's a bit like that.
It's Trojan horse, isn't it? Or it's the opposite of Trojan horse. It's like
I think it's a good question, like philosophically, is how much mousse would I have to put in my mousse
for it not to be your mousse?
For it not to be my mousse,
well, it'd be like the sort of thing that the EU would have regulations on, isn't it?
Yeah.
About a percentage.
I've also discovered, by the way, an incredible life hack. So that mousse, Sainsbury's mousse, the sort of standard...
Yeah, I can imagine exactly a pot of it with a foil lid.
Yeah, six of them, I think, at £1.30, right?
And how many did you put in?
Two.
The ratio being,
I would say about 20% of your mousse
was Sainsbury's
mousse, right? But I've since discovered, and I did it today, that if you take a Sainsbury's mousse, right, and you put a bit of brandy in it and mix it around, it tastes like a pudding that you would get from a posh restaurant in the Vino.
No, but I think Well, that's okay. So I think there's two different things going on there, because remember, yeah, I used to work on food programs.
Yes.
So I think it's like almost like the difference between being in Oasis and being in a band or a group that would sample stuff.
Right.
Because what you did with the Moose is sample it, didn't you?
Yes.
Basically,
that's how I think
obvious
of it.
Well,
I sampled the Sainsbury's cheap Moose.
So you took the Chic bass line and turned it into, you know, what's it called?
Moose.
Well, you didn't. That would be amazing that you turned a bass line into Moose. Yeah. You know, the original Rapper's Delight.
Right.
Whereas the brandy thing is different. That's taking the fundamental is you've shop bought something and then you've added to it.
I've customized with it.
Yeah, you've customized it, and that's different.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's so interesting. I don't think I've ever had a food within my food.
Smuggled food in your food.
But
it's interesting because I think you constantly, because it took a while to get to the punchline, and I could see you were thinking, oh God, he's shatting it. Or, you know, he did something really weird.
No, but instead of
and
that...
Instead, I did something which is quite weird, but it's not disgusting
it's
or anything.
It's a new concept to me. It's saying, it's very much like there's a stew. You know, how is your stew? Yeah, well, that's because I bought a stew and put it inside the stew.
Well,
it's the reverse horse.
It's got an element of...
It's the reverse of the
sitcom
Trojan
to it as well. It's got an element of Fawlty Towers, like pretending their duck is made in the kitchen, but the chef's drunk, so they have to go and get a duck from somewhere else. And when they get it, duck.
No, but again, that's different because you did make a moose and then you put a moose inside it.
Yes, it's half and half of that. It's as if in that episode of Fawlty Towers, he'd made half the duck and the duck had, half of it got ruined or something, but then it managed to, which does happen, by the way, they tread on it. At one point, the duck falls on the floor in that episode.
Right,
He thinks he saved it, and then Manuel comes in, and they end up treading on the duck. Right, but imagine if during the writing of that it had gone slightly differently, and then managed to salvage about half of the duck, and then they'd gone to the restaurant and tried to stitch together.
Yeah.
Of that duck with this duck, that would be more similar to what I did.
Similar, but still not the same, because there's one bit that's not duck, the original, and one's new.
Yes.
Whereas what you've done. It's like, so it would be like pate. Like, I'm trying to think of something really hard to make. Like, pate is quite hard to make. And I said, this is so nice.
Yeah.
And what I didn't realise was you'd used a Sainsbury's pate and mixed it all up. And so it wasn't most of it. That's fair. But it's an amalgamation.
Yeah, exactly. It's both homemade and shop bought.
Yeah. That is incredible. Yeah. That is like a...
To be honest with you, that... aren't that many foodstuffs that you could do it successfully.
Not much, that's
chocolate
true.
Mousse is absolutely at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Because in terms of...
It needs to be liquid, effectively, right?
In terms of colour and... Not just liquid, in terms of colour and consistency.
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
That, you know, the mousse I had made mixed very easily with the chocolate mousse I'd bought from Sainsbury's.
Well, so, it was...
Perhaps we should move on.
Incredibly enjoyable, but unusual.
Thank you very much.
Experience.
Hello, listeners. As ever, we're just droning on and on and on. And so, as ever, we've decided to cut this podcast in half. So that is the end of part one of this episode of Stalking Time for the Moon Boys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.